big headline, the headline in the Tuesday, September 21 newspaper, CBS backs off the guard story. Source for memos now says he lied about where he got them. Well, you know what? CBS's problem is they're not biased enough. You know, Fox News is out there screamingly hair on fire biased for one candidate, and every other network in the world, well, they've got a two-prong problem. One, they know they can make more money shilling for the White House than they can for the little guy, because the little guy is not going to grant them any favors. The White House is going to grant them all the favors if they play the White House's game. And number two, Fox is cheering for the bad guys, and whoever would stand up and cheer for the good guys could make a whole lot of money, but they're afraid to do that. Again, there's more money in screaming for the bad guys, but think of the money that CNN could make if they would. They don't have to admit that they're democratically biased, which, A, they're not. I always get back to Al Franken's great statement. He said, you can tell CNN is a Clinton network because they only do Monica 23 hours a day. That's the exactly perfect way to put that. But if CBS were to go as pro-Democrat as Fox is pro-Republican, then you'd actually have two sides of a coin. If you wanted to hear someone beat up the Democrats, you turn on Fox. You want to hear someone beat up the Republicans, you turn on CNN. But that's not how it works. You turn on Fox and they beat up the Democrats. You turn on CNN and they're 50-50 maybe, or 60-40 for the Republicans. But the Democrats, the majority, can't get out there. They don't have a voice in this country. And that's crazy. Democrats won the last three popular votes for president, and we don't have a voice in the media. That's just unheard of. It's spooky. It's crazy. It's silly. But it's the damn truth. The majority can't get their voice out. Now, that's just crazy, but that's what we got. But Rather was an idiot to fall for this, and I think everybody knows that, and I'm surprised that he did. Although I read a thing today that said that Rather may be just chivalrous about this deal. Apparently there's this lady in Dallas, don't know her name, probably in another pile, but this lady in Dallas pretty much prepared. You know how most of these news stories go? They say, you know, Rather look at the camera and say, here's what's going on. And here we're going to Betty Boop for details. And then Betty Boop in Dallas takes over, and she gives you all the details. And then when all the details come back wrong, you know, Rather's the guy on the hook, not Betty Boop down in Dallas. And Rather, if he were to say, well, hey, don't look at me. Betty Boop's the one that sold me out. Hell, I trusted her. She'd been with us since 1989, so she's been with them 15 years. They said did remarkable work all this time. She helped break the Abu Ghraib story. She did a whole lot of good stuff, a whole lot of good solid reporting for all the... And this woman had worked on this Bush National Guard story for 4 or 5 years personally. And so when she tells Dan Rather, we got the goods, we got a report, here we go, we're going to expose the bad guy. And then Rather says, okay, you say we got the goods, let's get on the air. And then when the shit hits the fan, Rather, the way the spin or the story I read, this is what I got from it. That instead, rather than pin it on the girl behind him who caused all the trouble, Rather is just taking the hit himself, which is a damn chivalrous thing to do. Wish I could be that chivalrous, but if one of my people behind me stabbed me, I mean, it's one thing to make a mistake, but geez, I don't know. Someone gives you some documents and says, these are real documents, swear to Koresh, and you say, okay, if you say swear to Koresh, I'll buy it, you know. I mean, it's one thing to put yourself on the line, but when you hand that to the next guy, you know, for instance, I wouldn't want Senator Kerry to depend on Bart's facts. You know, I think my facts are right, but I always tell people, hey, if I say something, look it up, check to see if it's true. Now and then we make mistakes. You wouldn't believe doing this radio show how many times I've had to go back and fix the thing. You probably now and then, maybe more than now and then, discover the clumsy edit. Because there's times when I'll look right into the microphone and say, we got to get rid of Kerry because he's killing this country. When obviously I meant Bush, but yeah, sometimes I just misspeak. And there's times when I mistype too. It's amazing when I type how a lot of times I wrote one the other day and I said, I couldn't do this. But what I wrote was I could do this. I mean, that's the difference between night and day, left and right, up and down. Yeah, I just said it all wrong, or I typed it all wrong. So yes, mistakes are made. That's why I wouldn't want anybody to depend on me. Sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes I get carried away. Sometimes I misspeak. Sometimes I mistype. You just don't want to trust me. I'm in this little tornado where it's like a river, that shit moves so fast. All you can do is swim hard as you can and try to keep up. Not that it's an excuse, but other writers sometimes, you know, if you got a week from Friday to come up with your piece, yeah, now you got time to check the damn facts. But anyway, this is not an excuse for Rather. But if we're going to have to deal with Fox, if Fox is going to be so overtly, screamingly, hair on fire, pro-Bush, can we not have one outlet in the country? Air America, yeah, now see, Air America is outright pro-Democrat biased, but they're very, very tiny. They're growing. Good news. I don't know what cities they're in now, but they opened in, you know, like Dayton and Charlotte and, you know, a couple of big cities. Don't know, you know, Cleveland or something. So they are making some progress. As a matter of fact, they're making good money. But Fox News is in, you know, 40 or 50, 60, 80 million homes, and Air America is probably in 25 or whatever. You know what I'm getting at. Right now, Air America is nowhere near as big as Fox News, but Fox being the standard, making all this money, all these other networks, that's why MSGOP and CGOP and even CNN, you know, every weekend they run a Bush's great story, and let's talk about Monica. You know, that's a typical weekend on CNN because they want some of that diddle monkey money. Rush Limbaugh, if he's done anything, he's proved that you can make billions by lying for the right. That's what's happened to the press in this country. You can't get, the press is for sale. And I think the honest ones would even admit it. Sitting at the bank the other day, I heard them talking about, I guess it was on Air America Radio, they were saying how, whatever, 10 years ago, the news division used to operate on its own. The news used to be a money loser, and they just understood that. It costs money to produce shows. It costs money to investigate. You got to pay the salaries. You got to fly people around the world. You got to have a bureau, you know, in India. You got to have one in Pakistan. You got to have one in Tokyo. I mean, a place like CNN. They got a lot of expenses to cover around the world. How do you become a global network? It costs a whole lot of money. But somewhere 10 or whatever, 12, 15 years ago, the decision was made, and when one guy makes it, the other guy's got to do it to keep up. But they took the news out of the news division, and they turned the news over to the entertainment division. That means we got to make some money. That means Katie Couric is going to talk about the election in 1 minute, and the next minute she's going to talk about, you know, who's on The Apprentice that night. Let's talk about Donald Trump for a half an hour because he's on our network. Now, that's crazy. Everybody knows the difference between news and fluffy entertainment, but that line is gone now. So, you know, a guy like Don Imus, he's going to talk to the presidential candidate, and next thing up, he's going to talk about somebody who his network wants him to promote. Everybody's like that. Every show on television is like that. Even Letterman, he'll talk to Kerry for a minute, and then next thing you know, he's got John Cryer coming out to talk about 3 Men and a Baby, because the programming department dictates, not that Letterman is a news show, but I'm just saying, the news people are forced to get in bed with the entertainment people. That means profit comes number one, and truth and honesty and credibility and being right, that comes in a, you know, a distant 15th, because everything's got to do with the bottom line. And that's what's screwing up with America and their press. Air America didn't exist back then, but think how every single network, every radio station, every newspaper, every talking head on the cable whore Nazi networks, every one of them talked about Saddam's got the weapons, we've got to invade. Everybody said that. Clear Channel, they demanded every employee, every DJ they had, had to set up a pro-war rally because we got to save America because Saddam's about to launch. It was just universally accepted across the board. Remember what Michael Moore said when he was on CBS? They asked him, isn't your film about propaganda? He said, no, lady, CBS News, that's propaganda. You guys, where the hell were you when it came time to deliver the facts to the American people? You didn't say Bush says Saddam has weapons. You said Saddam has weapons, and that's why we're going to war. So now we got 1,040 dead soldiers. Because you guys didn't do your damn job, and that's a crime in this country. Well, it should be a crime in this country. For the press to lay down for this idiot monkey to invade whoever he wants so he can steal their oil, we got 1,000 dead kids, and that's a damn shame. But in closing, big, big wave out of the crowd. If we're going to have to put up with Fox being the Nazi network they are, some network ought to stand up. If they could give Al Franken a network, then, you know, in a year or two, we might be even. But think about it. I keep hammering it home because it's true. The Democrats won the last 3 popular votes. It's because the Democrats, the liberals, are the majority. But you can't make any money pleasing the majority. You have to make money pleasing the rich man. And that's screwing up news in this country. It would be nice if this stopped in my lifetime. Here's a headline we've all waited to see, and I love it. USA Today, what the hell day is it? Tuesday, the 21st. Big headline, Kerry sharpens his words as he offers strategy for Iraq. Democrat analysts predict no more Mr. Nice Guy for the senator. Oh, we love it. Oh, the crowd does the wave. Oh, thank you. No more Mr. Nice Guy. He is coming out with knives blazing and guns a-blasting. He comes a-whooping into town, a-whooping and a-whooping. He's going to hopefully put a number six on the evil Bush boy. I just love it. Let's get into this. John Kerry tried Monday to cut through all the Iraqi votes and verbiage in his past and created a new bottom line. This is President Bush's war, and he's botched it. Now, you know what that's called? That's called plain speaking. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words. Instead of the usual 60 or 70 word sentence with all those semicolons and commas and the wherefores and the herebys and the theretos, 8 words. This is President Bush's war, and he's botched it. Oh, thank you, God. That's all I've been asking for. Give me some short sentences, some plain words. Get to the point. None of this, oh, the aspiration, the dream. No, it's Bush's war, and he botched it. Now, see, that's excellent. Oh, that's excellent. Whoever wrote that, thank you. I don't know if it's Carville or Begala or, you know, whoever the new people are, but yes, there's a simple message that people can understand. Bush screwed this up, and he fucked it up. This is Bush's war, and he botched it. This is excellent. This is what we've been wanting to hear since, hell, March when he won Iowa and whatever, New Hampshire. A little plain speaking goes a long way with Americans, you know. He didn't say anything about Bush has gilded the war in failure. This is Bush's war, and he botched it. I love it. Kerry also tried to provide what Democrats have sought for months. Oh, yes, long, long months. Expensive months. His prescription for Iraq. He said allies should be pressed harder to provide troops, cash, and training for Iraqi security forces. Post-war efforts should focus on quick projects with big payoffs, and those who mismanage constructions should be fired. George Bush has no strategy for Iraq. I do, and I have all along. Not sure about the all along, but hey, we're taking it. By God, some plain speaking from Kerry is what this country needs. During a stop at New York University, Kerry discussed an administration blinded by ideology and hobbled by incompetence. The assault was new for Canada, who sometimes has seemed hampered by a series of confusing votes and statements on Iraq since 1991. It was the time for everything, and it was time for him to take off the gloves, said Teresa, his wife. It's a risky issue for Kerry, but one he intends to focus on all week and beyond. National security is a central issue in this campaign, he said. We must have a great and honest debate on Iraq. Bush has accused Kerry of having multiple positions, but Kerry was prepared for that. He said Bush has had, by one count, 23 different rationales for this war. Yes! Plain speaking, 23 different times Bush has come up with a reason. The real reason is the little bastard wanted to steal. The little kid in the sandbox saw that the other guy had a bigger beach ball, so he had his big bodyguard watch him while he went and stole that from the other kid. That's the 24th, the actual reason. So Bush had to fabricate 23 others. It was a reference to a senior honors thesis by Devon Largio of the University of Illinois, who found Bush and his aides had offered 23 rationales between September 12, 2001 and October 11, 2002. Bush's latest rationale, Kerry said, is that Saddam had the capability to make weapons of mass destruction. He called that an excuse, adding that at least 35 countries had a greater capability to build a nuclear bomb than Iraq did in 2003. Quote, is President Bush saying we should invade all of them? He asked. Yes! Little plain speaking from the Democrat. Holy cow. That gets me wood. That gets me in a good mood. Kerry's new approach evoked palpable relief from some Democrats, including one in Oklahoma. They said he sounded presidential and offered enough details about his differences with Bush to give swing voters a clear choice. Most of all, they praised his aggressive tone. No more Mr. Nice Guy. Those days are over. Thank God, said Steve McMahon, a media consultant who works for Howard Dean in the primaries. Donna Brazile, a party strategist, said Bush has been trying to make the election a referendum on his challenger, but Kerry put a stop to that. What John Kerry did today was put it right back in George Bush's lap. Here's where you went wrong. Here's what I can do to fix it. I liked the urgency. I saw fire coming out of his nostrils. Yes! And you know, of course, we here at BarkUp.com are going to claim credit for this. Now, all the hammering I took from you people, and we'll say some of it rightfully, because if there's one thing I can do, it's go overboard or maybe, you know, a little hammer too hard. But someone had to wake Kerry up. At long last, here we are, September 21st. Our candidate has come alive. He's woke up. How many times have I said, Mr. Kerry, please wake up. Please, can you wake? America's on fire, Mr. Kerry. Please, can you wake up? Can you help us with the fire, Mr. Kerry? Because the country's on fire. And you're the only guy that we got right now this year that can put this fire out. And the candidate is on his feet. He's put on his coat. He's put on his boots. He's grabbed his hatchet and put on his helmet. And he's marching in the fire, and he's going to put that sumbitch out. And we like it. President Kerry, on the march, looking good. We like it. That's what we've been needing for this long time. We need some positive. We need some action. We need some proactive marching towards the White House instead of a bunch of bullshit rhetoric and some windsurfing and some a bunch of sleeping. Now we've got an active candidate on his feet, a two-fisted candidate with fire coming out his nostrils, according to Donna Brazile. We like this. Welcome to the race, Mr. Kerry. We love it. We hope to see more of this in the future. We got about 6-7 weeks to fight here. We hope you have awoken in time. But yes, we're not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on the future. We got a big march ahead of us. You're dealing with the most crooked, incompetent moron ever to hold office in the United States. And I think a little plain speaking from the candidate will give Americans an alternative, because when you talk about this Iraq thing, remember, Iraq's the biggest problem we got. If we walk away, Zarqawi gets the bomb. If Bush gets elected, we've got massive amounts of body bags, which is the good news compared to Zarqawi having the bomb. But the third alternative is Kerry winning, the United Nations and the NATO and all these other people coming in to share this problem. It's a worldwide problem Bush has created, and Bush can't fix it because nobody trusts the son of a bitch. They know. It's like France and Italy and everybody, they know that if Bush gets involved in something, he's just going to steal the money. They don't want to put any money in Iraq because they know Bush is just going to fucking steal it. Why would France or Italy or Germany or England or Japan, Russia, anybody, Australia, China, whoever, why would anybody want to put any money into Iraq when they know Bush is going to put it right in his damn pocket? They're stealing $100 million a day, and it's not enough. They got to steal more. It's just unbelievable. But thank God, as of mid-September, mid to late September, we have a candidate who is fighting. Kerry sharpens his words as he offers strategy for Iraq. Democrat analysts predict no more Mr. Nice Guy for Senator Kerry. Thank you, God. Thank you, Koresh. Happy days are here again.
If you think that your kid is not ready for certain kinds of environmental stimulation, I think it's okay to talk about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Death of democracy for the American people. Discredit their narrow ideology. Death of democracy for the American people. We will make this an age of war and misery. Progress must end. I've come here tonight to report to all Americans they are mistaken. They have endorsed representative government, and we've taken steps to correct them. Human beings will not be tolerated. Such an opportunity. Death of democracy for the American people. Discredit their narrow ideology. Death of democracy for the American people. We will make this an age of war and misery. It is the commitment of our government and my personal commitment to wear out the patience of Americans. Our desire to be safe from brutal and bullying oppression will fade and die away. We must keep our focus. Death of democracy for the American people. Discredit their narrow ideology. Death of democracy for the American people. We will make this an age of war and misery. The return of tyranny is right and just. We want its words to have meaning. We'll deny civilized behavior, a base of operation, and export more violence. Progress must end. Killing to achieve our goals. Killing is necessary. Chaos to achieve our goals. Chaos is necessary. Killing to achieve our goals. Killing is necessary. Chaos to ensure our money is spent wisely and effectively. Killing to achieve our goals. Killing is necessary. Chaos to achieve our goals. Chaos is necessary. Killing to achieve our goals. Killing is necessary. Chaos to ensure our money is spent wisely and effectively. Killing to achieve our goals. Killing is necessary. Chaos to achieve our goals. Chaos is necessary. Killing to achieve our goals. Killing is necessary. Chaos.
Chaos. Chaos. Chaos. Chaos.
Death of democracy for the American people. Discredit their narrow ideology. Death of democracy for the American people. We will make this an age of war and misery. Death of democracy. We must keep our focus. Death of democracy. Progress must end. Death of democracy. We must keep our focus. Death of democracy. Progress must end. The world has a clear interest in the spread of democratic values, and we will not allow it. A civil society will cease to exist. A harsh society in which women are voiceless is an essential commitment of our strategy. Death of democracy. Death of democracy. Death of democracy. Death of democracy. Dictatorship is a massive undertaking. The total control of every person, understood by all. But my fellow Americans, they're proud people. They know that retreat before a dictator will be respected. Thank you all very much.
Issue 1, cliffhanger.
Bulletin, most recent numbers. Pew, Bush, 46%. Kerry, 46. Another survey, tip. Bush, 46. Kerry, 46. Another survey, Harris. Kerry, 48. Bush, 47. With the election 6 weeks from Tuesday, it's a dead heat.
Another survey, Gallup. Bush, 55. Kerry, 42. Question, how did this happen?
We've got the Republicans right where we want them, overconfident. Look, I think the race has settled down roughly to where it was before the conventions, except this time I think Bush does have the edge. But the reason that there was a bigger point spread there for a while is because Kerry, according to the pollster John Sogby, is the rare candidate who managed to de-energize his own base. He actually lost Democrats. Now, they're not going to go and vote for Bush. They've drifted away, and they're beginning to come back.
Oh, Lord, we got to hope that's true. I just can't help but think there are a lot of Democrats like me who, during the summer, were very, very, very disappointed in the lack of energy coming out of the Kerry campaign. But the fall is here. The wind's a little cooler. Seems to have woken Kerry up. If he can get his second win now and give us 6 weeks of brilliance. And I got to say, of the last, say, 7 days, five of them, he's been on the attack hard as though Barkop were his campaign director. And I got to say, I really like that. He's coming out every day hammering. And I got to admit, there is a school of thought that had he started hammering in June, by August, they might have said, Jesus Christ, John, will you give it a rest? Enough already. So there's always a chance that I'm wrong. Maybe Kerry did the right thing by laying low, letting Bush make a fool of himself. But maybe there's some method to the madness here that Kerry knew that the public could stand about 6 weeks worth of fight. And so he waited about 6 weeks before the fight, and now he is launching. Oh, please God.
And Kerry's got to address the central issue driving this election, and that's the war in Iraq. He's getting much more aggressive about it. He's going after Bush for not leveling with us, telling us the truth about what's happening. And the facts on the ground there belie the president's optimistic talk and bolster the Kerry campaign. He's got to de-link Iraq from the war on terror. If he can do that, he can win.
Question, why isn't Edwards matching Cheney attack for attack?
Lawrence O'Donnell.
This is really a press story. Edwards is out there campaigning every day. The fact that the liberal media conspiracy has decided not to cover that is a media story, not a campaign issue. The reason, and ultimately the reason they don't cover it, is that Edwards doesn't spend his day trying to attack. He takes a different approach. He's in Ohio trying to get people convinced in a positive way to vote for this ticket.
You see that?
And so far, it doesn't seem to be working.
Put another way, and compared to Lawrence O'Donnell, a more coherent and honest way, Edwards is not going to be covered unless he says something. If he gets up there with a positive, upbeat, gee, let's all join together and win, stop after stop after stop after stop, you can't cover that story more than once. But if he were to get up like the new Kerry, if we could get a new Edwards, I believe this team would be unbeatable. Kerry's coming out now slugging left and right, and he's not a drunken saloon brawler with blood in his eyes swinging at everything that he perceives as moving. No, Kerry's coming out and hitting with precision with his little laser torpedoes here. If we could get the attack half of the team to throw a few thunderbolts, we might have us an attack.
The Kerry campaign has not accomplished very much by bringing on board Carville, Begala, Lockhart, Mike McCurry. They're at odds with your friend Mary Beth Kale and strategist Bob Schrum. So everything is just worse.
Well, that might have been true 2 weeks ago, but it's not true now. Seems like Carville and Begala and those came on like a Monday. They joined the team. And dumbass me, I was looking for fire on Tuesday, but no, wisely, I think, in retrospect. They got in there, they looked around, they took a couple of breaths, they looked at their assets, they looked at their liabilities, they huddled together, they thought about it, and about a week later came up with a couple of plans that I think are working spectacularly. I mean, as much as I was down on the Kerry campaign in June, July, and August, I feel that much stronger about them now that they're coming out fighting. They always said that Kerry was good, he's a good closer. I'm from Missouri. I want to see some proof. But in the 5, 6, 7 days that Kerry's had this new attitude, yes, he's slugging. He's got a fight going. And I like that. And anyone that thinks there's no change with the new guys on board is just crazy. We all owe Mary Beth Cahill a big round of applause for bringing Kerry from the back of the pack to the front. And Bob Schrum, they say, is a fellow that told Kerry, whatever you do, don't attack during the convention. That's got to be number one, don't fight at all. So I'm down on Bob Schrum. But I think Cahill and Schrum might be well to take a back seat now because the pros from Dover are in town. If there's anyone on the planet knows how to run a campaign, it's Carville and Begala's little buddy there. So I say you put Carville in charge, let's get us a president in there, and let's rewire this world, get it back on track.
All of the challenging states in the battlegrounds. Illinois now is in competition. New Jersey's, even New York and California are now single digits for Kerry. So Pat's exactly right.
I think Pat was right at the time he said what he said. But this show is taped on a Friday, so that would make it a week ago today, which would make it the 17th. The week of September 17th to 24th was probably the most impressive week Kerry's had since I've known who John Kerry was. They didn't go yapping on and on about how single digits in New York and California and stuff, but this ain't September 17th. This is September 24th, and I wonder where we're going to be by September 30th. Not only would this be cool if it turned into a horse race, but it would be double cool if it turned into a victory. Kerry's immovable object has turned into a freight train now, and the freight train is gaining speed. Will it get fast enough? Fast enough.
It's certainly true there were 50 separate campaigns, but it seems to me the evidence so far is that special advertising in the different background states is not moving it, that the numbers are going up and down nationally. So if a state like California is naturally Democratic, when Bush does better, Kerry's lead gets smaller there proportionally.
Wait a minute. We've been hearing for months that it's not enough to just be the guy who's running against Bush. You've got to give people a reason to vote for you. Well, Kerry is now coming on with a bunch of reasons. Let's see, I'm trying to figure out where this is. Later in the show, you're going to hear Kerry give a short speech, and he's going to mention about 4 times in a row, the president has got to be honest and level with the people during a war. He's going to hammer that home again and again, and again and again after that. He's going to put the hammer on Bush for this honesty, so Bush is in trouble. He can either, if Bush decides to get honest with Iraq, he's going to say, yeah, we're in a real shithole, and I don't know how to get out. And so he can't do that, so he's got to stick with the party line. So the voters are going to know they're being lied to. Kerry's going to point that out again and again and again. He's lying to you. And Bush is going to get up there and say, everything's rosy. And Kerry's going to say, now watch, Bush is going to lie to you. And then Bush is going to say, yep, everything's just fine over in Iraq. And then he's going to say, watch, he's going to lie to you again. And then Bush is going to stand up and say, everything's rosy in Iraq. So, yeah, Bush's credibility has become an issue, and Kerry is coming on like a freight train.
Look, I think both campaigns believe that the Bush campaign is about 5 points ahead. That's the way each campaign is approaching this thing.
Notwithstanding what you saw from Pew and Harris.
Yes,
and
look, you make a big mistake in campaigning if you pick the most optimistic poll for your side and say that's where we are.
What they're saying is on September 17th, Kerry was 5 or 6 points behind, and I believe that. I believed it was true then. But look at the steam that Kerry's got going. What could pick up the Bush campaign outside of them announcing that they've got Bin Laden, which I don't think they're going to do? What can Bush come up with? Some good economic numbers? No. Some good news from Iraq? No. There's not a lot of place that Bush can go. Bush, with his 5 points ahead a week ago, I think he's got nowhere to go but down. Kerry, who's been dismal, has got nowhere to go but up. And with this new life that the Carville team has breathed into him, hey, look at us. We got us a fight.
You also have to look at all of the components of the poll. And Kerry has taken a hit in all of the character issues. And so what he's got to do now is to turn it back on Bush. Right now it's a referendum on Kerry's character.
We are all agreeing
it's
that
it's got to be a referendum on Bush's inability to level with the American people on Iraq.
I got to say, I'm kind of impressed with Eleanor, who doesn't always impress me. I give her points for loyalty, but she's sitting in a room with three other screaming men, and when they get to arguing, her voice is higher than them, and it sounds like she's shrieking, so they start laughing at her, and turns out to not be a fair fight. But it's so interesting to listen to the show a week later, because what she's saying on the 17th is Kerry's got to turn this around and make it a referendum on Bush's character. And if you heard the Thursday morning press conference, that's just what he did. 6 days after she said that, it came true. Check out the big brain on Eleanor.
Without casting any aspersions, please consider the following canine analogy. If Mr. Edwards were a dog, and Mr. Cheney were a dog, which breed of dog would each candidate be? Pat Buchanan.
Edwards would be a toy collie, and Cheney would be a Rottweiler with an uneven disposition.
Eleanor.
Edwards would be either a golden retriever or a Labrador, the most popular breeds in most American households.
Yes.
And Cheney would be a German Shepherd.
Ooh.
Old Germany. Old Europe.
Old Europe, straight for the throat.
Right.
I think Edwards would be a Silkie, and Cheney would be a Great Dane.
Cheney is a bulldog. And Edwards would be a corgi, very cute and full of energy.
Edwards a chihuahua, Cheney a pit bull.
That was so stupid. But I just had to include it.
Issue 2, Iraq worsens.
Deterioration spreads. Attacks are increasing almost 80 times per day on average. Insurgents strike. 36 cities and towns are now in hostile hands. This week includes Baqaba, 11 policemen killed when gunmen opened fire on their police van. Baghdad, 47 killed, 114 injured outside a police station. Car bomb, civilian abductions, 2 Americans and a Brit boldly kidnapped.
And a week later we know those innocent men were beheaded. 2 more victims of Bush's greed.
From a guarded upscale neighborhood, bringing the total number of foreigners kidnapped to well over 100 since Saddam's fall. And chilling contract Westerners in Iraq. The Green Zone, a 5-hour rocket barrage at the sealed enclave housing the U.S. Embassy.
Question, have we reached the point where our military presence in Iraq causes more instability than stability?
Jeez, from that question, you think this is March the 1st.
We're going through a stage, it's very ugly right now, where the evidence that we haven't yet stabilized it is manifest.
Take away all the bullshit and he's saying we got a Texas-sized circle jerk on our hands.
John, the American presence is the cause of the insurgency. The insurgents, it's become an organic thing. It has grown from 5,000 to 20,000, despite the fact we've killed thousands of insurgents in the last year. However, there are 2 wars going on. One is the war to drive the Americans out, which has enormous support among Iraqis, and the second is the war to prepare themselves for the follow-on conflict to decide who is going to rule Iraq. But I think this war is going to go on as long as Americans are in that country.
You know, it's a nutty world when Pat Buchanan is the guy whom you most closely associate your ideas in a political panel. It's a little boggling to think me and Pat are on the same team here, but when he speaks the truth, how are you going to disagree?
Well, then-